Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From our global headquarters in State College, Pennsylvania, it's the AccuWeather Podcast. Here's your host, Regina Miller.
Well, thank you for joining us for this week's podcast, and we are going out live on location. Guys, this week we go to HackPSU, and it's on the Penn State campus, and we got to meet with some of the up-and-comers. Young people in the tech industry.
Some people from AccuWeather, too, with our API and development team. So it's going to be really interesting.
Right. So stay tuned for that. And before we get to that, we wanted to talk about Hurricane Michael, because last time I sat down with you guys was actually, it was coming on shore at the exact time that I sat down with you guys last week. Panama City and Mexico Beach in the Western Panhandle was hit with Category 4 155-mile-per-hour winds and storm surge, especially on the Mexico Beach side.
The devastation is just,
Right. Yeah. It has been horrible to see those pictures, and we've been down there. The AccuWeather Network has been down there, and at this point, as we're recording today, the death toll is now up to 29, but it's still unknown how many people are unaccounted for. And I believe in Mexico Beach, they are allowing the residents to come back in at the time we're recording this, which is Wednesday. But they've had curfews because there's been looters. There's been all sorts of problems. Now, we had Reed Timmer down there for the storm, but then afterwards he had a chance to do a walkthrough at the home of Susan Viafora. She was a Panama City resident who actually stayed during the storm. So take a listen to his conversation with her.
So what happened here?
We had a little hurricane.
All you gotta do is open this door and look inside and you'll understand. An old house and it just, every room. My son's window blew out, too.
Was it terrifying riding it out in here?
Worst thing I've ever been through in my life.
Oh, my
gosh. I got one word, evacuate. Yeah. Evacuate. Jeez. I'll never do it again.
What's your plan moving forward?
I have no clue. No clue. My mom, Sookie, just chucked my tree through the roof.
Oh my gosh. So that came through in the peak of the storm?
Oh yes. This is my spare room. See right here? Get in here and look up that way.
Oh my goodness.
The wood ceilings.
Jeez. Was the whole house shaking back and forth?
Yes. I thought it was a tornado. I kept hearing this roaring sound. It's a mess.
So you guys are gonna, have an alternate shelter? Do you have a place to go?
No, not really. My mother's house is a little bit better, but not much. She's only two blocks away, so you can imagine.
And we also had Jonathan Petromala, who got a chance while he was down there to catch up with Governor Rick Scott. So one of the questions he decided to ask him was how this storm compared to Hurricane Andrew.
Could you compare that to would be Hurricane Andrew? Have you seen that?
Well, I had a hospital demolished in Andrew, so I was in the hospital business at the time, and we had all the windows blown in. We had to handpick patients for hours and hours to save them. We had about 154 patients in the, like that in the hospital then, and that's what Andrew was like. And I got there just a few hours after it happened, and there were no signs, there was nothing. And so I flew over Mexico Beach also. It's the same thing. If you didn't know where you were, you know, where you're going, I mean, you wouldn't know. There's no signage, nothing. Everything's down. And you look here, you look at Lynn Haven, I mean, Callaway, I mean, it's similar. It's just, and, you know, it's, and you just feel sorry for the families. But the most important thing is you got to keep people alive. I keep, and then, you know, you survive this, and I want people to stay safe.
And like I was telling you guys, there's a curfew in place right now. It's hard to believe that people would be in looting, and, you know, I think you know, some of it's just desperation,
yep.
I'm sure. But Panama City has been experiencing the looting as well as Mexico Beach. So there was a fatal shooting actually reported of a looter who was trying to steal a police car, of all things. Landon Sweat, who was a resident there, he saw what was happening and he rushed his family inside.
And as I'm crossing the doorway, I look back. I see the officer at the passenger side. I don't believe the door was open yet. I believe he had both hands like this. And I get about 3 more foot inside and I hear the shot.
Wow. Just that's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I know. It's really
scary.
Yeah.
It's an upsetting situation. We continue to cover it. We continue to keep people down there for the AccuWeather Network. And I'm sure we'll be doing some updates as time goes on. Now we'll move on to the next segment of our podcast, which was on the Penn State campus, Hack PSU. Well, here we are. We're at the special edition of the AccuWeather podcast, and I'm sitting here with Andy.
Hi.
Hi, Andy.
How are you?
And Ken. And you guys, I'm laughing because we're sitting here, and we have our bright orange table. We're at the Hack PSU event, and there are how many do you estimate?
Around 1,300 registrants for this year's Hack PSU competition at the business building on Penn State's campus.
Right, which is amazing because they are all here. There's computer screens like all across the tables and all these kids brainstorming and we're watching them all and they are all coming up with ideas of how to improve your life right now through technology with all these like APIs. So it's pretty amazing and I'm laughing because Andy, right before we decided to open up the mics, was showing me how he hacked our computer so that all of our recordings are orange now.
Yeah, the AccuWeather orange for when we're recording this podcast.
So you deserve like a little prize for
Thank
what you.
You
came up with. I'm really proud of
so,
you.
So the opening ceremonies just a little while ago for Hack PSU. Now these youngsters are going to get underway, start creating these amazing things. And in just a few, we're going to have Ken Prell talking with Chris Patty and Mark Iannelli, both from AccuWeather about being a sponsor and about everything going on at Hack PSU.
Right. There's a lot going on here, so we're going to hand it over to Ken.
All right. Thanks, Regina. Just off the stage right now, Chris Batty, our Chief Technology Officer, and Mark Iannelli, our Senior Technical Account Manager, joining me now. Thanks so much, guys, for having us out here at the Hack PSU event.
No problem. We appreciate it, Ken. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you guys out here.
And Chris, let's start with you. Just tell us a little bit about what AccuWeather's role is here at this event.
Sure. So AccuWeather is a sponsor of this event. This is our fourth year sponsoring it. So we're really excited about having students use the AccuWeather API to build some cool new products that help people in their lives, you know, new digital kind of products that are really interesting. So, you know, we've been a corporate sponsor and we love seeing what the students come up with. And it's been really fun.
And Mark, a little bit more about the AccuWeather challenge and exactly what's going on with that.
Yeah. So we opened up our API this weekend for all the students. We have all the content out there. And we keep reminding students, the weather impacts everything you do, every aspect of it, what you wear, what you do, how you feel. So we want them to take those APIs, apply them to different products in the real world and how they can actually improve people's lives, make actionable decisions. So you got the whether it's a real-world problem, whether it's an IoT device for smart home technology, or whether it's just something completely fun and creative, we're encouraging those students to go out there, build something, and just have fun with it. And they have the opportunity now to win prizes, or we got some Amazon gift cards out here for the kids. They have the opportunity to talk here in the podcast. Some of these kids are really excited about that. So
that's great to hear.
Good energy out there. I love it.
Well, the competition just started here. It's a little bit after 2 o'clock. It goes for, 24 hours now?
24 hours, yeah.
And then really all the chaos kind of really happens,
yeah,
right?
All the chaos for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it comes to a close a little bit, but I mean, yeah, 24 hours, no sleep for some of these kids. They're going to be up all night. Well, they got it set up too. They got ice cream socials. They got games and activities. Keep these kids going all weekend. But I mean, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah,
of
I
fun.
See the game area here behind us. Yeah, it looks exactly. like they're going to have a Fortnite competition.
Oh yeah. Fortnite. They have cup stacking. They have Jenga. They have all kinds of different interesting events for the students.
Yeah, that's going to be very cool. So, a little bit more about some of the products that you guys are looking to see. Have you heard any of the conversations? I mean, I've heard a lot of conversations going on. It's very cool about breaking up different roles and their strengths, bringing it to a team. So is there anything that you guys have heard here?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, they really have a really cross-functional team. So they have folks from engineering, hardware and software. Mm-hmm. So really they bring cross-functional, cross-platform teams to build really, really cool things. We've even seen last year or 2 years ago, a team created a weather snow globe.
Oh, wow.
So using the API to actually have things like, you know, glitter fall for snowfall or for rainfall using the API. So, kids' imagination, it's really impressive what they come up with, not just things like simple apps, but really super innovative, you know, IoT-type devices. Really cool stuff.
I feel really stupid here because I would never even think about half of that stuff, and it's really cool.
It is very cool.
I mean, like I keep saying to kids, make an actionable decision for people. So tell people what to do. I mean, we got a lot of different other sponsors here as well. We encourage the kids to combine challenges even, too. So we've got kids that take our APIs, apply it to some of the driving technology with some of the car sponsorships here, some of the other big technology giants out there. They're here as well. So it's definitely interesting to see what the ideas these kids come up with.
So we've been doing this now for the past 4 years.
The past 4 years.
How difficult is it to then judge these products?
Yeah. Judging is always a challenge. I mean, there's always really, really great products. They cross all different technologies. You know, Mark and I judge it. We spend a few minutes with each team, evaluate them differently on creativity, on ingenuity, what they do with the API. So we spend a decent amount of time, 5 or 10 minutes with each team, and there's typically sometimes 20 to 30 teams, so it's quite a chaotic process.
And you only have like an hour to make this decision.
We definitely have. We bring all of our top guys here, and we all sit there and we talk to them, and we think about like, all right, not just the technological aspect of it, but the cool factor, as I like to call it. Like Chris said, we had the smart snow globe that won a couple years ago, and like it was just one of those things. Every time you tell somebody about that, they're like, wow.
Yeah, I was just blown away by it.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what they come up with. I mean, we have kind of the traditional stuff, but the kids are, I mean, they're really, really smart. Same thing, Ken. I mean, I sit here too, and in my job as a CTO, I'm super impressed with them every year what they actually come up with.
Before I let you guys go, because I know you got a whole bunch of stuff going on here, favorite part of this event?
I think honestly, being here and actually interacting with the students, talking to them really, really in the beginning and kind of seeing their eyes light up. Some folks don't even know AccuWeather is local to State College. Mm-hmm. And they say, wow, you guys are from State College and you do all this great technology stuff. We had no idea. So introducing them to AccuWeather, getting them excited and seeing them, their vision and really the creativity from zero to them getting super excited in the beginning. I mean, that pumps us up a ton.
How about you, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Yeah. I was just going to say the energy. I mean, mm-hmm. It's amazing, though, like just the passion that these kids have and the creativity that they have. Because the best part for me is when they come up to the table and they start asking about that challenge and you start talking about what they can do, you honestly see that light bulb just go for people. And they're, as Chris says, their eyes light up and they're like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm going to win this thing. I got it.
I don't know how many people come by our table here and have done the same thing. We're going to win it. Yeah. We'll be back, tomorrow, and we're going to be talking with you guys.
Raw emotions. That's it's great just to see that kind of passion at this early of an age. I mean, these kids are in the future, so it's great to see the ideas that they got.
Well, again, thanks. I know it's a busy time, so thanks so much for taking some time to sit with us. Chris Batty, Mark Iannelli. Thanks so much. Back to you, Regina.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. And you know what, Andy, looking around here, the excitement is built. I mean, the students have 24 hours to fulfill this challenge.
Yeah, in just a few minutes, it's going to kick off. These students are going to divide up into teams and start with their creations. And I tell you what, they are already in the zone. I think
they are.
With coffee and Mountain Dew is going to be flowing in abundance here at the business building. And they are just ready to go, ready to. And honestly, I can't wait to get back for day two to see these amazing creations and what winds up winning at Hack
PSU. I know,
PSU.
Because you never know, because something that comes out of this today, this 24-hour period, could be the next revolution, like the personal speaker systems now that we all have in our homes.
Sure.
So we don't know what's coming out of this. We're excited about it as well, and so we'll be checking in for day two.
And back on day two of the Hack PSU event, they actually invited us back for a day two, Andy.
Yeah, we're still here at the business building on Penn State's campus, the home of Hack PSU. And we're going to find out today who won the AccuWeather Challenge.
Well, the competition, the 24-hour competition, just wrapped up. Regina's out somewhere with the AccuWeather Network.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, over 1,400 people here participated in the hackathon this year. So, I mean, on the Hack PSU event. So it's just amazing.
Yeah. You know? So when we track Regina Miller down, we'll have her here with us as well. And then once we unveil the winners for the AccuWeather Challenge, we're going to have the winning team here with us on the podcast.
Yeah, I can't. I would not want to be one of the judges here today because that decision is going to be super, super difficult.
Yeah. Going back to the discussion that we had on day one with Chris Patty and Mark Iannelli about what it comes down to with judging.
That's a lot to deal with,
but it's going to be really interesting, and we can't wait to meet our winners coming up.
So once we track down Regina, we'll have that for you.
Well, we are just finishing up day two of PSU Hack. Hack PSU. Let me say that again.
Hack PSU.
Hack PSU. And I'm sitting here with Mark Iannelli from AccuWeather. And Mark, we have the winners of the hackathon.
That's right. After a bunch of teams that we talked to, 13 teams applied to the AccuWeather Challenge, which is using the AccuWeather API and building cool things, as I like to say. They apply it to real-world problems, an IoT product, or just something fun and creative. And you know what? I think this one falls into the last category of fun and creative because they did something very innovative and something we never even have seen before in all of our years of doing hackathons and events like this. So let's start with you guys. Like, if you want to say your team name and then introduce yourselves.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. My name is Mike. I'm a senior at Penn State Barron in Erie. I study computer engineering. So the name of our project is Image to Haiku.
I'm Sriparna Majumdar, and I'm a Penn State student as well, and I'm a computer science major.
Hi, I'm Sophia Beta. I'm a computer science sophomore with a minor in entrepreneurship and innovation. I'm here at UP studying how to make tech better.
Hi, I'm Michael Chow, and I'm a freshman studying computer science here at University Park, and this is my first year at the hackathon, and I love it. I
want to ask you guys about your creation, so maybe one of you can tell me what you came up with.
The idea was inspired by a video I saw for an MIT hackathon keynote. The woman came up to the stage, and she described an idea she had. She wanted to help her readers visualize her poetry, and that gave me the idea that the phrase, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Right.
So that was our first idea. And from that, we spun off the idea of poetry. And we thought, well, no one's ever really taken a picture of anything and then said, write a poem, like sent that to any sort of technology and do that. So that's kind of where we got the idea from.
Yeah. And I think we really monopolize on where technology is going now. You see all in the news and everything that artificial intelligence is pairing human brains with computer brains and moving forward in a lot of productivity tools and knowledge. But we wanted to bring the human into that. We wanted to make sure that art and beauty and the emotion behind something like a photo of your family's wedding stays with that. So we built a computer program to understand that art and beauty behind any photo that we input into our program.
Right. Yeah. That's so cool. It's such a cool idea. How did you come up with this?
A lot of brainstorming.
There was a lot of back and forth that we went through. We came up with, I think, 20 ideas. We worked really well together. I think we did a great job. We kept on like praising each other. I think our skill set is diverse enough that we could like work on different things and work together on that. We plan on working on another project in the spring, next hackathon.
This was a group effort. You guys really kind of came to this particular idea together.
Yeah. We took about 2 or 3 hours brainstorming. So we wanted to make sure that what we were doing was meaningful and that it had an application in the real world, but also brought our interests and our expertise into play.
And I guess another reason why we chose the poetry aspect is because technology can be very utilitarian at times, and it's very easy to get caught up in that. And sometimes it's boring. So
let's take it to the next level.
Why don't we write some poetry?
Yeah, right.
Obviously, it requires critical thinking. So how do you do that? It's a really big challenge. And a lot of code, right?
A lot of code.
I mentioned...
you were in charge of the code?
Yes, over 300 lines of code, in fact.
It's not a lot, but it's for what it was, it turned out to be a lot of time spent per line of code.
Now, Mark, the one thing you said was that choosing this team, you really liked how they worked together.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking to them, it was very clear they had a very designated work ethic, and as far as breaking it up into the individual team members, they had a very complex and technical solution. They combined multiple aspects, multiple technologies here at the hackathon, and we thought that was very interesting and very innovative. It wasn't just like it seemed like a last-minute hack trying to get into the AccuWeather Challenge, throw your name into the hat. No, they thought about it. You can tell. They had the chemistry there, because just even the way they were presenting, I don't know if you guys got any of the footage here, but the judging situation was just mass hysteria. There's tables everywhere. There's hundreds of people all jammed into a tiny space, but they still acted very professional. They're very fluent. They're very contextual with what they're offering to us and what they showed to us. So, I mean, we all sat down, and when we started grouped together here at the AccuWeather team, we said, that's the winner, Image the Haiku. Yeah.
Now, did you guys all know each other before you came in, or is this just wow? So this really just
none of us knew each other.
Me and Michael over here were roommates before, so we were already planning like coming here as together.
Okay.
But the rest of us, we had no idea. We just like put it up on the team building workshop, and then
we
met up. Yeah.
I just posted some information about myself. I said I was looking for a group that needed a front end developer. I became the front end developer. I pitched to them my idea in the chat, and they seemed to really like it. So I thought, well, I would rather have a team that is more motivated than technically oriented towards it, because you can learn the details later on.
Yeah, we learned a lot. There were probably 5 or 6 new technologies that we learned. It takes a lot of work, but we did it, especially in 24 hours.
There were also like an incredible amount of obstacles we had to get over. We almost didn't finish in time for the deadline to submit. We were encountering error after error.
That's what I was going to ask you, was what you ran into.
We did not know how to resolve. And we had a problem where we could not install one of the things we were using to analyze the image. And finally, at the last minute, right before we were scheduled to submit, we were able to just miraculously install it. I still don't know how.
It was...
it's magic.
We planned it out very well, but the last part, the deployment, was something that I don't think any of us have ever dealt with. Yeah. So
it's even like first and second hackathons.
Even in my experience of being a senior, I've never dealt with deployment. So that's something that I did not know how to allot time for.
Well, it seems like this experience will really serve them, Mark, going forward in life and anything you do in your careers, because you're always working in, like, teams in this kind of business.
Absolutely. Like I said, the fact that they did this in 24 hours and came with the idea, found people that some of them didn't even know each other, and they came together to do this, really liked that a lot. And that's why it was an easy consensus for us to pick these guys.
Where do you kind of see this going in the future? What can be an outcome of, like, what you've started on this project?
Well, for one thing, we could finish it.
we did. We did. That. It's not the prettiest thing.
It's like we actually have.
So you can fine
spin the,
tune it.
Can you spin it around so everyone can see? So that's actually that's the main screen. There's a way to select a file, and there's a way to upload it. So right now it's still not fully connected. I mean, we're all very still driven, actually, to finishing it. That's the next thing we would do is finish it, and then obviously
so
then improve more. Yeah, hey, thank you. I actually designed the background myself.
It is so pretty. Like, just that, because you can't get that across on a podcast, you know? So.
Yeah, I developed this in the background in Illustrator, applied it with Bootstrap and JavaScript and some formats.
Wow, that's great. I'm sure probably we're going to be trying to find a way to get this image that you have so that we can have it, you know, maybe on our site.
Let me just explain what it does. So as soon as I press this button, the image is sent to Google and to Clarify to analyze, and it will return a series of words for us to compose a haiku out of. However, we also made effective use of the AccuWeather API to be able to determine like the coordinates of the image, like where the image was taken. And then we used one part of the API to determine the city in which the coordinates were located. In this case, it would be State College.
Right.
And we used the second API endpoint to be able to determine the current conditions in that area.
Right.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of possible conditions. There's like
there's a lot of things. Yeah, there's a lot of I did a lot of the developing with the AccuWeather, actually. I made the files that used your API, and then he implemented them, and he hates me for that.
there were
because of the way that I gave him the data, but it was really interesting. It's really easy to use. It was very helpful. All the documentation online was very clear. So it was definitely, it was good. I definitely did not have any trouble dealing with it.
Okay, so once finishing it, where do you see things going with this concept?
I see you could probably maybe deploy it in a mobile environment where you can have an app and then select images and then maybe even save them to a server, the server that we're using.
One application like that I thought, and it's a cause close to my heart, is Girls Who Code. So I think this is a perfect example of what code can do and how you can make code fun and really applicable to your life and real. So I work with a Girls Who Code club, and basically, like, I'm planning on when we continue this and finish it out, bringing it to them, showing the girls, like, this is what you can do, and playing around, because that's the whole point. You bring it to young kids, and then they get interested in tech, and then they go further with their career, and they do amazing things.
That's great. It's very inspirational. Mm-hmm.
Part that we actually used your API for was the mood of the poem. So from the beginning, we knew that the mood would have to be, like, either sad or happy, and that would actually be determined by how cold it was or the weather, if it was raining or not. So that, I didn't realize it at first, but the API that you have, it ended up playing a very big part in how everything turned out, actually.
Like we said earlier, a big part of what we wanted to do was bring emotion and really the human element into what the computer was doing, which is what your API helped us do.
We found the API to be one of the simplest to use out of any of the ones we've used. So I think going along with our Girls Who Code thing, anyone who wants to really, like, experiment with APIs and just, like, test out APIs for themselves, AccuWeather API would be a great place to start. And I think the first one has, like, what, 20 free requests a day?
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's already a great option. And I've already used it in many of my smaller personal projects, which I love using.
That's great to hear. I mean, yeah, actually, we, as you said, we have that free trial with 50 requests per day, actually, and we have 3 additional paid packages. And that's what we love to hear, the guys, that you guys are coming in here, you're trying it out, and then we give you the option to grow with you. So, like, you can test it first, kick the tires out, and then as you start to develop something, hopefully get it out there, maybe put it out on the market, do something cool with it. Yep. Then you can maybe buy a package, and we start building with you. And then as you get bigger and bigger, we grow with you, and then, hey, maybe someday we can be partners. Let's get this thing out there in the market.
We're ready.
Right.
Actually, it was a great, cool, outside the box thinking idea. That's why we loved it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank all of you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good luck going forward.
Build cool things, and this is definitely a cool thing. I loved it.
For sure. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, we are now winding down. A lot of the people that we interviewed from the AccuWeather podcast have been up over 24 hours.
More than that at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. True. True. Yeah. So everything is wrapping up. We really got to see some great technology. Did you guys have any favorites?
Oh, man, there
was
so many.
There was that one
stuff
that was really neat that won the overall prize, not just the AccuWeather challenge, but it was the trigger happy. That
yeah, the helped. Smart weapon.
Oh, no. Yeah, smart weapon. Gun.
Yeah. With a camera mounted on a weapon. To help make a deciding factor shot that an officer might take might be lethal, non-lethal. That's a really, really interesting technology.
That's the thing I took away from all of this, is it's not just like building cool apps or anything like that. A lot of these kids, students, are looking to, you know, build devices and stuff like that that will help humanity, really.
Right.
It's not it's not just like some cool, you know, video game or something like that.
Well, even the team that we talked to, Sophia, said how much she wanted art and beauty to be a part of tech, because people always worried that, you know, especially with AI, artificial intelligence, people worry
that you
about
lose a little
basically
bit of that.
Terminator.
Yes.
You know, people worry about that. And she's like, no, we want to, you know, we want to show the humanity, bring that into it. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, very inspirational weekend, I think, you know, we spent here.
I feel a lot
better about the future.
Yeah,
I
didn't know what.
Because it's in their hands.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know anything about this stuff.
It was
stuff,
up to
so,
us.
Right.
Forget about it.
Right, yeah, right. Really, I'm glad they're in charge.
Really had no idea what to expect. When coming here, you know, when we first had Mark and the API team on in that last episode of the podcast, you know, learning about this event, but to actually be here and on location, I feel like I've learned so much more about how people use these technologies to develop great things.
I think
and
so too.
The other thing that was cool is like the winning team didn't even know each other.
Right.
Yeah. Before yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just 4 people coming together within 24 hours to create something like that.
And all sorts of conflicts. It gives us all inspiration that
absolutely,
we could all just get
yeah.
along a little
yes,
bit better
little
and
bit.
Come together and get things done in a positive way.
Yeah.
So it was very inspirational. It's been great being here. Mm-hmm. And
it's been awesome.
Great times.
It has been great. So that wraps up this week's episode of the AccuWeather Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to the AccuWeather Podcast, giving you the stories behind the weather, discussions on trending weather topics, and so much more. New episodes every Thursday. Just search for AccuWeather on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite shows.